one of the things that the enemy has never wanted, and that's for the church in this city to be together, that there be cohesiveness. And that's one of the reasons why he's gone against us so hard. We are the first body of believers to seek to bring cohesiveness across denominational lines. And he said, if I can squash them, the other folk just want to have church as usual. You know, the other folk don't care if we don't come together. But the thing that God spoke to me was that there would be a coming together. And that's why it's called Pittsburgh Believers Convention. And that's why pastors that were threatened because it wasn't their vision. I didn't make this up. God gave it to me and spoke some things to me that I never declared publicly to anybody. I was like Mary. I said, God, if you said it, then you do it. Be it unto me according to your word. I'm not doing this for myself. And the thing about it is, people have come and people have gone. And there were times when we would go down to the very core. And yet, what God called us to do, it was always accomplished, no matter how many or how few. Because it's the desire of God that this city be unified in the spirit. Amen. And so that was the consolation, that you didn't understand what was going on. But it was because of what God had declared to me that would take place. And there's always time. See, the promise was given to Moses in Egypt, but the fulfillment came of the promised land later on. It didn't have to take them 40 years. It was an 11-day journey. And we're going to deal with a little of that this morning. But that's the thing. God told me some things, showed me, I saw it. And yet there were times when it looked like everything was going to take place, but what God said. But every year, as we banded together, many of us thought, why are we the ones that are doing this? What about the other churches? Why don't they get involved? They didn't get the vision, you see. And so they don't feel as passionately as we feel about this, because God placed a mandate in particular from this house. If we were 5,000 strong, this is what they ought to do. It. Look at it, we got a slew of folk. But even when the manpower went down, it still worked, because it was the heart of God. And I said, God, I just want what you want. Amen. God's going to fill this house. He's going to double it and even triple it. If we take care of his business, he'll take care of ours. And I believe it with all of my heart. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
This week, I've been thinking vastly. I was thinking about the Pittsburgh Believers Convention. And I didn't understand why I was thinking about it. But on Wednesday, I got together with a couple of the sisters from other churches, and we were talking. And the Lord dropped in my spirit that the week of the Pittsburgh Believers Convention, that every church in the city is going to get together, and you know, services will be closed just for the Believers Convention weekend. So, I mean, now I understand why the Lord was speaking that in my spirit, because I believe it. I see it, that everything is going to be just for that weekend of the Believers Convention, you know, that the body of Christ can see that vision when we all come together.
It'll be a statement to the city. Would you be surprised, the folk that are offended, especially pastors, that we would come together and I miss my offering? I got a letter after this Believers Convention, and a pastor said, you're a threat to some of the pastors in this city. I said, didn't you tell your folk not to come down Sunday morning? He said, yes. I said, didn't they obey you? They were hungry, and they wanted something more. And so he said, I'm pulling my folk out, excuse me, from the convention, just seeking to obey God. Seeking to obey God. Not trying to outdo or keep up with or any of those things. And every time things happen, God takes in and works for us. Amen. Amen. 7 years of back pain. 7 years of.
Pastor, as I was thinking, and I was, when I heard the message, I was thinking about the Believers Convention and how it seems like once we start, we have quite a few churches, and then as time goes on, it ends up being a few, and then it ends up saying it could be just the Lord's church. But one thing that I took from that when he was saying, gird up your loins, that I really praise the Lord for you and Mom D, that you all, no matter what goes on, continue to gird up your loins with truth, and that you're able to stand. And with that example before us, that keeps us allowing us to stand no matter what it looks like, knowing that God, as you always said, God always starts with not enough. And it always comes together, and it's always better each year.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happens, but each year we say it was better than last year. So
yeah.
I just thank the Lord for your example, Mom D.
It's the Lord's doing. Praise God. Yes.
The iron gates would open up when the seeds wake up.
Amen.
And we're the seed.
We are the seed.
Until we all come together.
This is it.
As long as we're fighting amongst one another, the gates will never open.
This is it.
Once we come together, the iron gates
realize our purpose. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
And the Lord brought to my memory when David was in exile, and he was fighting to, you know, win these six.
Yes.
And the enemy doubled back, took his family.
Yes. And then,
but the word of the Lord came to him and said that you shall pursue.
Pursue.
And you shall recover all.
Amen.
And,
yes.
You know, that's what I got when I heard that prophecy.
Yes.
He said, gird up your loins. You know, and you shall pursue, and you shall recover all, and you shall do what God has sent you to do.
Amen. Amen. It's a corporate thing. It's us. It's us. No one man can do this by himself. Hallelujah.
I was so blessed by what we heard. I think the thing that stood out more for me than all that he said is that we have to allow God to move us out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
And that if he has called us to teach or prophesy or be an evangelist, that we not hesitate, that we obey his voice quickly. And this is the season that he will not take the excuses that we're fearful or we don't feel that we have what it takes to do it successfully. All he wants is our obedience.
Yes.
And he's responsible for the results.
Amen.
Of that. Faithful is he who has called us, who also do it.
Amen. Amen. Two more. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Edward.
Yeah, Pastor, I heard a couple of things, and the one thing, that first part when he started, and he said that stones not fitly joined together.
That refuse to be fitly joined together.
Refuse to be fitly joined. And then that other part, the radical disorientation, and he said that there would be a weeding away, and I would recall the word that we had received around that some time ago. And so a lot of that had occurred, and now as we enter into this day, after the light, and I think he made that point, that suddenly appeared the light, and that light would be the light that would cause us to recognize that God had recognized the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
And that at this point that you have been recognized as a seed, and that the gates have been earnestly waiting. And that would really impress, because it shows that fever, that fervor to be open. And that,
yes,
at this point is now that time. And that would be really the principality that have been assigned to us. And that's what,
yes,
I thought he meant when he said that principality.
Yes, yes.
That principality had finally been found.
Amen. Amen. Herod will be dethroned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
All right.
Sister Glover.
What I wanted to say is this, is that the Lord was showing me how that, you know, he was saying that God's going to pay you back.
Yes.
Double.
Yes, ma'am.
What the trials and tests you have been through, and by being a witness and being here and being in the midst of the storm that came through this house,
yes, ma'am,
and all the different changes and the different seasons in this house.
Yes.
You know, God was just showing me how there's so much division came in the body, And, you know, the bottom line is this, that you taught us before, there's three types of people in the house of God. There's carnal minded, spiritual people, and natural people.
Yes.
And God has given you a vision for the city. And a lot of people can't receive because of where they at with God. And the vision that God has given you is bigger than what people can really see. And people go by what they see in the natural, not in the spiritual. In the spiritual sense, that you have to get to the point where you got to know without a shadow of a doubt. You got to hear from God for yourself. You can't be following other people. You can't be listening to people. You got to hear the spirit of the Lord for yourself and the whole spirit. Because these last times we live in, that's the only thing that's going to keep you and sustain you. And you just have to follow God, and you just have to quit looking at people, because everybody you think is where you think they're not. And I just thank God to be able to distinguish between the different.
Praise the Lord. Brother Patrick.
It's kind of funny, Pastor, with that because that's the difference over the house of fellowship, beginning to tell me about the hearts. But this is for you. This release your own child is kind of black brown. I've watched people come to this church. I've watched, you know, how your son has broken your heart, but that's your eyes. And he says, Lord, I'm testimony. I still see in you the God that you have been and shown us.
Yes.
And I watched through it all, the things that's going on. You still say, whatever you say, Lord, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that God has sustained, you know, kept you. Even when you were sick, he healed you. He also has given you this vision, and I truly believe this vision is of him, and it will happen.
Praise God.
And I just want to thank
Amen.
You, Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sister Simpson.
I was thinking about what he said about the confirming word, and I'm looking straight ahead at the word we have received and embraced from this house. It is a new season. It's a new day. And he used those exact words that we are coming into a new season. A new season. And as I was doing the calendar for next year, I realized for our anniversary that this is our 16th year coming up, and that we had just completed two cycles of seven, and that number eight means new beginnings.
Yes.
And so when he talked about the double portion, the double blessing, even what dropped in my spirit then was that this is the double new beginning, the second cycle of new beginnings.
Yes.
So I thank God for his word confirmed,
yes,
and that the prophecies have been confirmed, they can reconfirm. But even a couple of years ago, and we don't know the exact day, but this is a new season.
Yes.
And so that we need to just embrace the season that we're in and watch and just be mindful and expectant of what God will do in beginning again in this season.
Amen. Amen. Sister Lisa.
Just on what Sister Carol was saying about the double portion, the two cycles of seven, this year has been the year of transition.
Yes.
So if you look at the two double cycles of seven, our 14th year, this 15th year has been transitioning.
Yes.
Change, uncomfortable, don't understand what's happening, where is it coming from, what does it mean? And that's not only corporately, when you come under a corporate anointing, when you sit under the shepherd of his house, what I'm learning is that when God plants you in a place, when he leads you and plants you, you can't move out of that planting and not expect that opposition. That you flow in that anointing for that house. You
yes.
flow in that anointing or that word for where you've been planted. And so the fact that God has made this a year of transition, I could say personally, it has been unprecedented transition in my personal life.
Yes.
That it's just the transition of change is just an unusual level.
Yes.
And I've linked it to who I'm under. I link it to the covering of this house.
Yes.
And so we look at it corporately, but we need to look at it personally. That whatever God is doing corporately, wherever he has you planted, you fall under that mantle.
Yes.
You fall under that calling, and your gift, your talent, your ability is flourished out of that mantle.
Yes.
And so you, when you make a decision to stay plugged in, that's where the blessing is.
Amen.
And that's what I'm learning. And the mere fact that this is a year of transition and the word apostolic that came from Mark Shalona, I appreciate, Pastor, that you have not allowed titles to distract you. We've heard Bishop this and Bishop that, but the role of an apostolic mantle does mean the establishing of other churches, bringing together of churches, but yet you've not focused on the title, you focused on the call.
Amen.
And that's what God is going to bless. I remember what Monita Bynum said to you a few years ago at PBC. She stood and looked from you from behind, and she said, I see a straight line. I don't see crookedness. I see integrity. I see character. I see leadership. And when she spoke, and she is a prophetess, that was the river, if you will, that was flowing out of you. And I heard that. I was there, obviously, Monday to hear it straight personally with Mark Shalona. And I said, God, look where you're doing it. You're in amidst the church that worships on reconciliation. The whole environment has led you to take this mantle. So I'm just grateful to the Lord for this hour.
Amen.
That we not miss our hour of visitation.
Amen.
And he talked about the core. And I saw that Sunday, we had a march in this church last Sunday.
Yes.
And Sister Melissa Brown said, look at the remnant. Look at the people that are saying, yes, I'm going with you.
Yes.
And that I was reminded of that. That Monday, God, you spoke this word. And here Sunday, the core stood and said, we're going.
Yes.
And so I'm just grateful that God has picked a remnant, and I'm part of it. I don't take it lightly. I know this is a serious call because the enemy doesn't want unity.
Amen.
And starting with the gatekeepers. So this is a critical hour, and God is looking for intercessors that will flow into this purpose of
praise
God.
God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, get out your Bibles, if you will. Yes, sir.
Turned out late a little bit. I heard that word too, and the word that came to me was God had given you a core member leadership now that would enable you to actually accomplish what God has for you to do. You know, I don't care how great you are. It takes an army to get the job done.
Amen.
And vision without people is just frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And I can attest that in my own personal life. But Pastor, a couple things. And this is not meant for everybody to jump on your feet, but if you believe that the prophetic word that talks about you being a core leader in this house, I want you to stand. If you believe that in that prophetic word, you are part of the core leadership of this house, I want you to stand to your feet.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And you know, this is something I can't tell you you're a leader. I can tell you you're not a leader, but the Holy Ghost, God, right now, speak to every heart that you have divinely placed in this house to put their hand to the plow.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I ask you to do one more thing. If you're in that number, I want you to just go to the center aisle. Move to the center aisle, if you would, please.
Hallelujah.
Bring the choir stand, come on down. It's going to take a couple seconds. But Pastor, God wants you to see, Mrs. D, God wants you to see what the leadership number, what your army is. Thank you, Jesus. I see the aisle just filling up right now. Praise God. Now, as you're standing, I want you just to begin to see yourself as an army. Your post may be in education, working with kids. Your post may be a working in hospitality. Your post may be whatever your post is. I want you to see yourself as part of an army today. And Pastor, God said he wants you to see this because the mantle that Mark talked about, God says, I've given you an Abraham anointing because you truly are a man of righteousness. And as you walk before people, you walk in humility, and it is obvious that you are a man of integrity. And the Abraham anointing is one that men don't understand and is rarely given because it gives you an ear to hear from God. Not many men can stand in the place that you have stood and hear clearly from me. But today I say I'm giving you a new mantle. Because to take this city, it's not going to take an Abraham anointing to take this city. But yeah, it's going to take a David anointing to capture the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah, you're going to turn from being that man of meek and mildness. I'm going to give you now a heart of a warrior. I'm going to take you not only from a man that can worship, but I'm going to take you a man that now can obtain victory. For yeah, it is time, it is time, it is time, as I put this new mantle on you, for you to take that which I have given you. For yeah, it stands before thee even now, as your hands even would stretch forth. It's even like a gift that I would give thee, for the David anointing is something that I have set aside, that now thou shalt be able to take this city. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now. Oh, Shanda, come on, saints, let's praise God for a second. Oh, Shanda,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor Dennis, and the city is more than just PBC.
Yes.
I will say it again. The city is more than PBC.
Yes, amen.
Whether it's the reentry center, whether it's even new satellite churches, God is saying he's given you this city that the glory of the Lord might be shown before men. So don't think small. And PBC is big enough, but God says take the limits off today. For yea, this city stretches wide. Yea, the great rivers go from the north and south, the east and the west. Let it not what thou would see, for that which thou can envision, yea, it can truly come to pass. Thank you. I'm about done, y'all. Pastor, one last thing God wants you to do. This is your mighty men of valor right here.
Amen.
I'm saying this is the, when David had that group that first came, they were distressed.
Yes.
They were disgruntled and in debt.
Yes.
But after following the man of God, God transformed their lives where they became giant slayers and killers. And they would capture just for a drink of water, they cut a man's throat.
Uh-huh.
And God says, if you would invest in them, I'm talking some personal training, leader to leader, that he's going to transform them into the army that you need to take this city.
And I stood back, the Lord said, go back and look, because I had spoken a word to you about Gideon and his army and how he felt he was hiding. I don't think you were hiding, but you're a humble man and you weren't really trying to take the forefront. And Gideon did not want to be seen, and you don't want to be seen, but it's too late. God's already exalted you and made you into what he has wanted you to be. You're already exalted and men are already afraid of you. You're not a man of great stature physically, but in the spirit realm, God sees you as a giant. In the spirit realm, you can't even hide. And even though you've tried to just be a man of humility, and but see, David, he captured an army of men, just as the prophet has spoken before. These men were afraid. These were men that were distressed. They were, and you're looking at your army right now, and in your mind, you're saying, these aren't men of greatness, but really, you look at it in the natural, you don't see the greatness. They're not great in the natural. These are great in the spirit realm. And just like when that army that fought with Gideon defeated a whole host of people, this is what God has called this body to be behind you. And I looked at this line of people and I saw exactly what Gideon would have seen. These aren't the ones he picked. These are the ones that were left. after God had weeded out the ones he picked. So these are what you got left. But it's not to defeat a whole host of people. And this isn't all you'll have. This is just what you're going to start with. You've got to start somewhere. But as you, your stature grows in the city and men fear you, and men would say things that would offend you because you're a man of humility, you feel offended by the things they say. They say things that they don't sound like you. And I know you can be a man of humility and they don't even sound like you. You're not trying to take anybody's church. You're not trying to take anybody's members. You're not trying to cause anybody else to be put low so that you can be brought up. God is doing this thing. So you won't have to take it personally as they say some of the things they say. And as you watch God move them out of the way, if they come too close, and if they get too close to what he's doing, and you'll be like Abraham still, you'll pray for them so that they won't be cast out of the way. You'll pray for them so that God can deliver them because they don't really know what they're doing. They're just doing this thing because it is frightening to them in the natural. They're not really sure of what God's doing, but we are sure because we know what God is saying. We've stood here for years and listened to God say that the apostolic anointing that is on your life is becoming more and more prevalent in everything you do. Last week, Pastor, you sang a song, and I didn't say a word. And I heard God say so clearly when you sang, Zion is calling me. It wasn't just a song. We sing that all the time. But I heard you personally saying, he's calling you to a higher place of praise. You're going to have to stand upon the mountain and magnify his name. Pittsburgh's got a lot of mountains. And you're going to have to stand there and tell all the people of every nation. You started doing that. But in Pittsburgh, you're going to have to tell them that he reigns. But Zion is calling you to a higher place of praise. It's not, you can't, he's calling you. And we're coming behind you. But when you said it, I said, oh my, God is really calling you to stand aside, to come apart from some of the menial things that you've been doing. We love you as a pastor. We'll probably miss some of the personal interaction, but God is calling you higher to a spiritual interaction that we may not be able to understand. And as your children and as the followers, we'll be there. It's just that we may not understand everything. Don't be shocked with some of the people that even in this room do not understand how God is moving you higher. But Zion is calling you. And everybody needs to understand God's calling him higher. Yeah. And he may not be there every day to just pat you on the back and say, sometimes he might because that pastor's anointing is still on him. But the apostolic anointing includes that pastoral anointing. So he's going to be called up higher. And it won't be as church as usual, as we've been saying. It's not going to be church as usual. Sometimes the apostle will come out and speak some things that will really prick us, and we're going to have to just get behind this thing. God is calling you. When you said that, I said Jesus is really calling you to a higher place, and it's not according to, every time I'm standing with my eyes closed, because I really, when my eyes are closed, I see you like this. When my eyes are open, I really see in the natural, but when my eyes are closed, I see God exalted. See, I can, when I'm not looking in the natural, I can see him standing on that mountain and men of God saying to him, what would you have us to do? Not just us, because we, but men of God in this city are saying, what would you have us to do? It may not look like it now, but there are some that are saying, we are behind you 100%. What would you have us to do? And you can no longer be hidden.
Pastor, I'm a little shaken at what I'm hearing God say, and then to know that prophetically I'm speaking into the man of God's life. I don't take that lightly, but as But the Lord was speaking, the David mantle. I heard the Lord say that I have had worship as your source of personal strength and as your source of your call. And so the very fact that I have put that worship mantle on you, that worship mantle has been one that has drawn people to the Lord to a new level. And so the Lord says, I'm going to continue to use the worship mantle as a catapulting target to bring down the walls and the barriers that have kept unity from flowing in this city. And so as a result of worship,
There's going to be a pursuit for God's presence. There will be people in this house that will no longer come in looking at programs as usual. We will now transcend out of what we were accustomed to as a local body. And our cry will be coming in this place, God, your presence. We must have your presence. And that's why the wave of worship has been flowing in a new realm in this house, because of the mantle that has been on you.
Yes.
And I hear the Lord saying that even as a couple, God is going to cause the two of you to become the model to the city. And that's why the enemy has been working, trying to keep that partnering model from being established.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be pastors. I hear the Lord saying there's pastors, as Kathy said, waiting to submit to the call. I hear the Lord say, I'm going to restore sons, bastard sons, that have were linked to this house. I'm going to restore the bastard sons in this river, says God. There's going to be an hour where it will no longer be the way we were and how we used to be and what happened then and what could have been and what should have been. God is saying, because of my presence, I'm going to renew the minds of the sons in this city. Well, they will become open to flow into this mantle. They will no longer look at it as Pastor Dennis or the Lord's church, as it were. They will look at it as the call of God on their life. They will see that the vision of their local church is connected to this call, that local church can't move without being connected to this call. And as a result, they will erase the name Pastor Dennis. They will say, I can't help it. In order for this church to move forward, we've got to plug in. And so that plugging in will erase the past. They will find themselves forgetting those things which are behind and pressing into this river that God is calling in this city. They can't help it. They won't be able to help it. They will find themselves coming saying, you know, I don't know why I'm open to this. I don't know why I'm telling my local body we've got to plug in, but I just know that I can't be satisfied until we do. And so these local pastors and these former bastard sons will be reconciled, says God. I'm going to reconcile them to this mantle, and it will ride on a river of worship. It's going to ride on the presence of God. And we as the people will be the example of God's love of reconciliation. We as the people will say, I remember that brother. I remember that person that left and that person that did that. And God will cause us to open up out of love, out of his call, out of his purpose, that they may be one. We will no longer look at what happened. We will no longer wonder what should have happened. We will say, God, in this hour, we want to maximize the call for one church. And as a result of that openness, God is calling a remnant of people that will be open to forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark of the high calling, which is also in Christ Jesus. And as we become that local model, as you become that local model couple, God is going to cause the pastor gatekeepers to draw together to that mantle. And so I hear the Lord saying, worship your way through. Worship your way through. There's going to be a realm of worship and God pursuing us, pursuing God's presence like never before. We won't have church as usual in here, as the word of the Lord said, because the David mantle is not only going to be on worship, but I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to move you to be lion-like just as much as you are lamb-like.
Amen.
And so that lion, that strength is going to rise up in you like never before. And many of us will say, that's not the pastor I knew. Well, no, that wasn't the pastor you knew. There's a new mantle on your pastor. And as a result, we become open to them. We're going to see the rod and the staff. We're going to begin to see a dimension like we've never known. But God's going to cause us not to label it, saints. We're not going to label it. Don't call it anything. Just call it the presence of God. Call it manna. It's fresh. Manna from on high. What is it, God? I don't know. It's just fresh. Get in the river, said God. Don't ask questions. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to figure it out. Just stay plugged in. Just flow in. And God said, march, we're going to. If God said dance, we're going to dance. If God said scream, we're going to scream. If God said shout, we're going to shout. If God said run, we're going to run. If God said get on your face, we're going to get on your face. If God said get on your knees, we're going to get on our knees. If God said just suckle and sitting in your cars, we're going to get in our cars and drive around the city. Whatever God says to the man of God, there will be a people that will not question what God is saying. They're going to be open to obedience. And because of your openness as a people, you will begin to my presence. So much so that there will be decisions that you have tried to make personally. You will not move out until you sense the presence and the voice of God for you to move. You will not move. You will not even respond to an email without the presence. You will not go into your job unless you sense the presence. God is saying you're going to be finding yourself having personal devotion in a dimension like you've never known. Say, God, I must have your presence. I can't get on the bus without your presence. I can't get up in the morning without seeking your presence. I can't go to bed at night without hearing and seeking your presence. And so God says there's going to be a longing for his presence. And you're going to walk in your jobs and your areas with an aroma of his presence. And people will say, there's something about you. Something has changed your countenance. What is it? And you won't lose yourself and allow him to come forward. That covering is that you will decrease that he might increase. And because you're open to decrease, God, enough of me. I'm not trying to be nothing. I don't want to be nothing. I just want you to be glorified. Get the glory out of my life, God. Just be God all by yourself. Reign all by yourself. Show yourself strong. Be who you are. Be I am. I don't know my future. I can't even begin to plan 3 years down the road. But I know one thing. You've begun a good work in me, and you're going to perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know the plans you have for me and my family. There are plans not to harm me, but to prosper me and to give me hope and expect it in. So I'm resting, God. I'm going to rest in what you're doing. Truly, 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 it shall not be by might, said God. It shall not be by power. It shall be totally, 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 totally by my spirit, said the Lord. You will not be able to look back and say, I did this and I tried that. No, said God. You're going to have to say, it has all to do with an ear. It has all to do with a yielding vessel. One once you have done that, there are going to be young people, Pastor, age 10, 12, 15, that God's going to move on a prophetic anointing. They're going to find themselves speaking into seasoned people's lives, the word of the Lord. And so just stay open. I hear the Lord saying that this day, you mark it in your calendar, this day is a day of a turn. A turn. We're making a turn, saints. I hear the Lord saying we are not going back. We will never be able to go back. There's a turning. There's a turning happening in the heavenlies. Something is turning in the heavenlies. And because of that turn, saith God, you're going to be more open to come into this house and say, God, what do you have on your agenda today? I am not going to walk out saying, well, what was that? Rather, I'm going to say, didn't God meet us? Didn't his presence prevail? Didn't our program go to the side? And didn't God's plan prevail? Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of God shall prevail. There's a prevailing in the spirit of this house, and our appetites will change. The things that we hungered for yesterday, we won't want today. I don't want to eat that. I don't have an appetite for this, says God. I have a new hunger, a new thirst for his presence. I must have his presence. There's going to be such a drive in you, says God, that your children in your house, you're going to be able to walk into their bedrooms and say, is the presence of God in here? Or is there a contrary wind? Do I smell something unusual? Do I smell something strange? And when you take that aroma, says God, you begin to sense the strangeness of the aroma that is lurking in your household, the strangeness of the aroma that's lurking on your jobs. And you begin to say, oh, that's not good. That's not good. And God will cause you to change the incense of the aroma where you live, saith God. And as a result, you will discern the difference. So much so, you will walk into other churches, other vineyards. I see the Lord saying, we will be able to go in and say, ah, the aroma needs to change. Not egotistically, not with cockiness, rather with openness. God, use us to help change the aroma of that church. Change the aroma of that church. Change the aroma of that church. God is saying, I'm changing the aroma of this city, said God. This city has been known for steel, but just as I heard you say the other night, that this city has been known for steel, it's going to be known for Jesus. It's going to be known for the presence of God. Just like the three rivers have been used to show the different directions, God is saying, I'm going to cause this local church to become the point. The point. The point. The point. We're going to point the way, said God. Point the way to his presence. Point the way to the river of worship. And we're not going to think it's strange that those rivers are going to come together at one point. Just like down at the point in the natural, God is saying this church is the point in the spirit, says God. And denominations, denominations that are going to the west, and denominations that are going to the south, denominations that are going to the north, and denominations that are going to the east, God is saying, I'm bringing them all together to the point. And so you need to see yourself as one who's been called to participate in the point. So when you start to think, God, what are you saying? What do you want me to do? You can look at your neighbor. You can tell your family, God has called me to participate in the point. I am one who has been called to point. I'm going to point on my job. I'm going to point in my church. I'm going to point in my community. I'm going to point in my house, said God. And so stay in the river. Stay in the river, said God. Those rivers are coming together. It's going to ride on the mantle of David. It's going to ride on the mantle of worship. I dare you in your own household to sing a new song unto the Lord. I dare you in your own household. Say, God, whatever you want to hear this morning, here I am. God, whatever you want to hear me say, I'll say it. There's a new dimension of purpose being called upon this house. You are the point, said the Lord.
Amen. Right where you stand in God's presence, begin to make that word, those words that have come in this house today in prayer. Begin to say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. What you say, God, you do it. Do it in me. Start in me. Hallelujah. That's right. Just open up your mouth. Bathe that word in prayer. Hallelujah. Let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost give you the prayer to pray concerning that word. Hallelujah. Let's pray it in. Hallelujah. This come. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That word, my God, be it unto this house. Be it unto us according to your word. You said it, God, you do it. In the name of Jesus, cause me, Lord, to arise. Hallelujah. To put on my shoes, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, your mantle that you've given to me, Lord. May I throw it around me, my God. And walk in your presence, my God, pleasing you, doing your will, seeking your face, walking in your way, in the name of Jesus. Not my will, but thy will be done. Your will be done individually in this house. Your will be done.